one of the senior teachers of Insight Dialogue. His name is Dave Legat, and I really kind of look up to him as a teacher of this system, Insight Dialogue. He has this charming term called market practice. Basically, as Buddhists, we, of course, would do well to meditate, put in those hours on the meditation cushion, you know, developing samadhi, developing mindfulness, developing peace the best we can. And then when the meditation time is over, can we retain the mindfulness and not lose it as we get up off of that meditation cushion and go about the rest of our day? Whatever we have to do, whether it's talking to people or doing chores or going places, integrating the mindfulness is much more challenging than when we have the ideal quiet conditions of our meditation practice sitting on the cushion or the bench or whatever it might be, sitting in the chair. And to Dave's mind, the ultimate test, the ultimate final exam of how well we can keep our mindfulness is to go to a busy public place like an open market. Thus the term market practice. Okay, so there's lots of people, it's loud, there's a lot of distractions, a lot of voices, many things to see, you know, the eyes want to dart around looking at this and that attractive looking sight. And it's especially challenging to keep one's mindfulness. The Buddha does have an interesting simile about how mindfulness is like a bowl full of water filled to the brim. And can we hold that bowl full of water to the brim, walking through a busy, crowded place where the crowd is looking at a beautiful woman dancing on a stage and the crowd is all making noise and shouting? And can we walk amidst that crowd without spilling even a drop? And if we spill even a drop, it is as though there's a man walking behind us holding a sword and he will slice our heads off if we spill any of that water. Actually, it's a bowl full of oil, I believe, in the simile, a bowl full of oil filled to the brim. So it's challenging. It's challenging. So I think Dave's market practice is kind of reminiscent of this simile. Yeah, there's another simile he likes to mention as well, that of the bamboo acrobats. Basically, two performers. One is on the ground holding a thick piece of bamboo, and the other one is way up in the air doing various acrobatic poses while holding on to the bamboo. Chinese culture still has this, by the way, these bamboo acrobats. I'm sure you can find them on YouTube somewhere. Anyway, the guy on the ground holding the bamboo, he has to have extreme mindfulness and steadiness as he stabilizes the bamboo pole. The other acrobat up in the air is leaning and twisting and, you know, doing various shiftings around. And the guy on the ground has to kind of absorb it all. And if he's really skilled, he hardly has to move around at all. If he is not so skilled, okay, he's going to be quickly staggering around and, you know, making short, sharp steps to keep everything in balance. And it's really hard. So Dave likes to use this analogy to explain, like, yeah, we have to be stable and steady like that bamboo acrobat on the ground as these various sensory impingements hit us, you know, contact us, impact us. So yeah, market practice is kind of the final exam, isn't it, for how hard it is. So now in my last little Dhamma talk, which hopefully you watched, I was mentioning this lovely, joyous walk I took with a co-meditator during these Insight Dialogue retreats. Now, after the retreats were over, they ended January 3rd, and I had a couple of days in Hong Kong before I had to fly back here to Malaysia, where I am now. And I had the honor and privilege to do a little sightseeing around Hong Kong. One of the Buddhist lay supporters took me around to see the sights a little bit. And I endeavored, okay, this isn't just going to be a touristy, you know, looky-loo around Hong Kong. No, this is going to be practice. Okay, this is going to be market practice, in fact, just like Dave speaks of. I'm going to rise to meet this challenge and see how well I can integrate these new lessons I've learned and keep my mindfulness, keep my meditation together. Now, another insight I'd like to explain is how, actually, I did a co-meditation with Dave himself the day before the retreat ended. And in that retreat, or sorry, in that co-meditation, as I was sitting there across from him, I had awareness on my body, and I was also having an awareness of the space around me in the room, okay? That tends to help me a lot, is an awareness of the space, just the 3D volume of the room, you know? Having a sense of where everything in the room is all at once. Where are the walls? Where's the ceiling? Where's the floor? And this sense of the space can extend beyond the walls as well. Can I be aware of the space beyond the walls or even down below the floor or up above the ceiling? And and it helps me a lot when I don't really make any distinction between inner and outer, like the space inside the room and the space outside the room. That's all just space to me. And the walls are just kind of an arbitrary boundary, which ideally wouldn't impinge or, you know, hamper this sense of space. Whenever I'm riding around in a car anywhere, I don't drive vehicles, but if I'm riding in a car, I always remind myself, don't make a distinction between inner and outer. This is in the suttas here and there, by the way. It's not a major teaching, but it helps me a lot when I do it. I try to be aware of what's inside the car, also what's outside the car at the same time, equally. This is hard to do. Usually my awareness will want to be on just what's inside the car or just what is outside the car, but can I balance those kind of equally? And it really works great as an object of meditation. It makes riding in the car 100 times more enjoyable when I do it right. Okay, so now back to my Hong Kong story here. So this lay supporter took me around to see the sights, and I'm like, okay, this is going to be market practice. And what I did with the... I'm going to jump back to my little co-meditation with Dave. When I was aware of the space between the two of us, that really made the peacefulness increase a lot. Not just awareness of myself inside my chest, not just awareness of the room. No, but the awareness of the space between myself and Dave. Where was that location between myself and him? Just where was it? There was nothing special about it. Beyond that. Anyway, that really helped. And I'm like, oh, I'm eager to use this. I'm eager to try this. So then when I went out to see Hong Kong with this lay supporter, I did basically the same things as in my last YouTube video here. Basically awareness on my chest as primary thing, as the primary object meditation. Then whoever I'm with, keep them within my field of vision, even if just within the peripheral vision, panning my head as necessary, and not forgetting they're there. Neither paying too much attention to them, nor too little. So that social context is always remembered in this way. And I also tried to have an awareness of the space between us. Where was that location? Just like I had practiced with Dave there. And then if we were in some sort of, a subway, I wouldn't just have awareness on what was inside the subway, inside the cars, but also what was outside the windows too. Sometimes we'd be in a tunnel. It's harder to do it then. But sometimes it would open up and, oh, I'd see the kind of bay of Hong Kong, all the water, all the... There'd be like a skyline. There'd be the sky. There'd be buildings. And I wouldn't make a distinction between inner and outer. I could be aware of what was inside the subway and outside the subway equally. And feel the space of it. Feel the space of it. I know this sounds like a lot of things to do at once. And yeah, it's challenging. It's hard. But that's what it took. And yes, I was able to keep a very decent practice together as I did this. Now, it wasn't quite as joyous or enjoyable as that walk I mentioned in the last YouTube video, where we were in nature. It was just trees, sky, hillsides, you know, nature. You know, this was a bustling city, but I did a lot better than before doing these things I just listed. Much better than before. I'm like, okay, this market practice is a thing. It's now you might hand wave this away, saying like, yeah, but where is this in the suttas though? Where does the Buddha teach this? Well, what I would say is this: if I can't develop skill in these areas, when will I ever be an arhat? Okay. Presumably an arhant can keep his mindfulness together in all places and times. Even when he's talking to people. Even when he's going places. Sometimes monks and nuns have to go into cities for this or that reason. Maybe the dentist, maybe the doctor. Maybe some government office of some sort to get, I don't know, paperwork done or something. It happens, okay? Yes, we try as forest monastics to remain secluded, staying outside the villages and towns and cities, ideally. The Buddha praises seclusion all over the place in the early Buddhist texts. It's not a small theme. It's one of the bigger themes. That's certainly the default to aim for, as we can, as monastics. But I say practice has to withstand. It has to stand up to the challenges of, well, yeah, what if you do go into a city? What if you have to ride the subway somewhere? Monks and nuns, you know, what if they have to fly in an airplane to go somewhere else to give a Dhamma talk or something? All this, all these varied situations call for some sort of method of practice, which works. It has to work somehow or other, okay? So it's taken me a long time to come up with some objects of meditation which work for me. And I think just as a personal side here, I'm a bit of an unusual person in that sight is not my primary sense. Apparently, for 90% of people, their sense of sight is their primary sense. Okay, what they see, they place a lot of stock in. They're very visual people. How everything looks, the appearance of everything, matters a lot to them. They place a lot of weight on it, a lot of emphasis on it, a lot of meaning on it. But there's this rare 1 in 10 person where the sense of sight is not their primary sense. It is that of touch. And I think I am one of these rare 1 in 10 people. Touch is actually my primary sense, not sight. Now, these objects of meditation I just explained, keeping the awareness centered in my chest, having a sense of space in the room, having a sense of where the space is between myself and whoever I'm with. This all partakes of the sense of touch, or at least a sense of like space, the element of space. It is a minor theme in the suttas, this so-called element of space, the dhatu of space. Sometimes there are four elements in Buddhism. There is earth, air, fire, and water. But occasionally, this teaching is extended a bit, and it is six elements. It's earth, air, fire, water, but there's also the element of space and consciousness is the sixth. So that space element, although it's not taught all that as a big theme in the early Buddhist texts, nonetheless, I've kind of cottoned on to it because it really works for me. And I hope, this might be something you might enjoy experimenting with as well. So that's why I'm sharing it. And, you know, whatever way that you can achieve your market practice, please do so and test yourself. You know, can you enter and remain in like a Brahmaviharic state while you're in public, while you're in a big city, while you're in a busy marketplace? That's the ultimate test, I say. Can you remain in a state of metta in your heart, steady and stable, or compassion, karuna, or mudita, sympathetic joy, or rupeka, equanimity? That's the hardest one of all to do around others. Okay, so there's a challenge for you to live up to and practice. And I personally wish to acknowledge and express gratitude for how Insight Dialogue, that organization's provided me opportunities to develop skill in these areas and come up with ways to stabilize that, just like the bamboo acrobat at the bottom, you know, has to keep the bamboo pole steady. There's a practice to it. Just generalized talk about it. You can listen to 100 Dhamma talks where it's just generally talked about, but that's nowhere close to actually practicing it, I say. And gaining skill in it. Okay, so that's what I'd like to offer for now. Thank you for listening.